Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
I will pour out my spirit upon all people. That's a great promise. And when I go to Walmart, I see a lot of people who need it. But let me just be honest, looking across this room today, I see a whole lot of people who need it. And when I look in the mirror in the morning, I see a person who still needs it. I will pour out on all people, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. So I haven't seen that yet. Have you done those things? Because until you do those things, their sons and daughters might just keep cussing you out. Okay, maybe that would have worked better on a Wednesday night. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see vision. All the old people say, I'm going to dream a dream. All the young people say, I'm going to see visions. All the people that you don't know if you're classified as old or young say, that's me. That's most of us. The sad thing is at 43, I'm old to some people. But to other people, I'm young. It's all subjective. Somebody say, pour out. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, you got to pour it out. Now I need everybody to take out their phone. I saw you all had your smartphones and your Samsungs. Let me just say it. I hadn't said it this year. Y'all are messing up the group chats. And Apple's trying to help y'all. They finally brought the bubbles to our Samsung users. But y'all's videos are still coming in grainy and small. And let me remind you, we all have group chats without the Samsung users, and we do make fun of you, and we do pray for you. All right, now open up the camera. Everybody got their camera open? Hit that flip button. You've declared it. You've told somebody else. Now I need you to look in your phone and tell yourself, you need to pour it out. You need to handle those things. I did that because a lot of you keep getting offended that people keep telling you stuff. And so we need to tell ourselves some stuff. I got some things that I need to pour out so that God can get ready to pour in. I've got to handle some things that haven't been handled yet so that God can pour out his spirit. Why do I need to do that? Because God says what happens in your son and your daughter depends on if you handle those things. What happens in the generation coming behind you, it depends on how you are handling those things. And the ambiguity of those things is so great because your things are different than my things. What you're dealing with is different than what I'm dealing with, but God said you've got to handle that before I can pour out. Somebody say, pour out. You may be seeing the presence of the Lord. I don't know how far we're going to get into this today, but I believe this series is going to bless you. I believe it's going to challenge you, but I believe that it is going to be in our face talking about what needs to be talked about in 2025. In 2025, I am more determined to not preach fluff and to not preach things that tickle ears and make people feel good, but to preach things that challenge us to become more like Jesus. You know, to become a disciple of Jesus Christ, we have to walk away from some things to start walking to. You can't hold hands with the devil and still pursue God. We can't act like the world and then come in and act like God for 2 hours in a church service and expect that the pouring out and the promise of restoration and pouring out that we see in verse 28 is going to take place in our lives. God pours out at the level that we pour out. Check this out. We decide how much we get. In 2025, we have been taught from a very young age that life is not fair. However, God is fair. God is not trying to pull one over on you. God is not trying to teach you a lesson. It is plain and simple in God's word that when we walk in obedience And when we do what God has led us to do, either through his Holy Spirit giving us discernment and leading us, or through his written word, God has already spoken that when we are obedient to his word, that there is favor and there is exceeding precious promises, the word of God says, to those that walk in obedience. And so life might not be fair, but God is. God is a God of mercy. God is a God of grace. I'm so grateful that God loves me enough that he's not trying to do anything, that he does everything that he pleases to do. But there are some things in our lives, church, that God has put the onus on us. That it is our responsibility. If we want to see God pour out into our lives, then we are going to have to put ourselves in a position where God does not have any excuse not to bless you, not to anoint you, not to lead you, not to, I don't want God to say, I could have done this in 2025, but you held on to that and you were disobedient in this relationship and you wouldn't go over here where I told you to go and you were at the right place, but you wouldn't do the right thing. And so God said, I had so much for you in 2025 that I could not pour out because you would not walk in obedience. God pours out at the level that we pour out. You and I decide how much we get. You and I decide how much we get. God's job is to pour. Our job is to receive. It's not that God's not pouring. It's that a lot of us are not in a position ready to receive. God is never the problem in the equation of what is being given, what is being promised, and what we're actually taking hold of. That is why here in about 20 minutes when the altar opens, there will be 100 people that come forward that are making room for God to pour into them. But others will stay at their seat and they will walk through the doors and they will head to lunch and say, I just don't get it. I didn't feel what they felt. I didn't receive. Why are they always getting blessed and I'm not? Could it be that when God said, I'm getting ready to pour out, and he gave them not only a warning, but a promise that I'm getting ready to do this, that they said, well, if you're getting ready, then I'm getting ready. If you're getting ready to pour, then I'm getting ready to receive. And in 2025, it's not a matter of if God is going to pour out. God is pouring out on his church. God is pouring out of who he is. God is the most valuable things in our life, not what we can hold and not what we can see, but who God is. God is always pouring out. We've just got to be in a place ready to receive. Psalm 23, verse 5, somebody loved to quote this verse. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I like that. Because if you're doing something for God, you're going to have enemies. You say, I don't have enemies. Yes, you do. John 10:10 says the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And then he'll use people around you and closest to you to become your enemies. Isn't it amazing that some of your enemies have the same last name as you? Isn't it amazing that some of your enemies literally have the same address as you do? Work the same job you do. Sitting on the same row as you. He said in the prayer, some of us are trying to pray our enemies away, and God's saying, don't worry about the enemies. I'm going to prepare a table in the presence. And he said, in that presence is where I pour out, because the rest of the verse says this, thou anointest my head with oil. Could it be that God said, I want the enemies to stick around, because everybody that's been saying, I won't, I want them to watch me do it. Everyone that said, I can't, I want them to watch me do it. Everybody that said God would never use you, everybody that said that God would never use me because of what I've done, because of what I said. God said, I want them to have a front row feast, a front row seat to your feast. But listen, it's not just about you eating and them not eating. He said, I want them to know that you are anointed. I want them to know that you put yourself under the spout where the glory was pouring out. So in 2025, don't get so concerned with who's watching you. Let them watch. Don't be concerned with who's talking about you. Let them talk. God is going to give them another reason to talk. And so I'm more concerned with, God, if you're pouring out, I'm going to get myself ready. I don't care what they're doing. I don't care what they're saying. I just need to make sure that I'm ready, so that when you pour out, I'm in a position ready to catch. How many of you know a great promise in Psalm 23 is that my cup runneth over? That means your container that you want God to fill, God said, I will run that cup over. Let me play the flip side of this coin, though, because as I was studying and writing this out in my spirit, I just thought, well, there's some people who they're living a faux favor. Faux means fake. And you think that just because it's running over, that's the favor of God. What if your cup is running over because your cup's too small? I don't know who came up with these 7.5 ounce cans, but they need to be tarred and feathered at the town square. I feel like Andre the Giant holding this thing. They did it because it's a money thing. They can give you less and just charge you just a little less than the 12 ounce cans or the 16 ounce cans. Y'all, that's why I like the truck stops. They got what we used to call the tall boys, BC. I still call them the tall boys. They're just DP tall boys. But what if this is your expectation for 2025? And you're saying, oh, God, oh my God, he is favoring me. He is overflowing me. Yeah, but you got 7.5 ounces of faith. That's all you got. God's saying, go get a bucket. Go get a swimming pool. Go get a trash can. Go get something that holds more. You remember in the Old Testament where they started, where the widow woman with the two, she said, I need you to go and borrow vessels and borrow them not a few. And the Bible says this, the oil kept flowing as long as they kept bringing containers. Can I encourage somebody? You're too concerned with whether God is or is not going to pour out when the promise is God said, I will pour out. I just need you to put yourself in a position that you are ready to catch everything that I'm laying out and putting down. So maybe it's because your cup is too small that it's running over. That's faux favor. Or maybe your cup is already full of something. Remember when he said, and after those things, I will pour out my spirit. Could it be that your cup is so full of nonsense that if God adds one drop to your life, it runs over? Oh, look at me, I'm running over. No, you're just getting a couple drops of what God wants to do, but you're so full of everything else in life that the devil wants you to think that you're in the overflow. You're not in God's overflow. You're still full of too much of the world, and when God adds a little of him on you, it wrecks your life, and all this overflow starts happening. I want to encourage you, before God can pour out, you and I must pour out. Before God can fill us, we must empty ourselves out. Every day that you come to church, every day that we live, church, we've got to stay in a continual place where we are pouring out. And some of us are not pouring out because we're afraid that we won't be poured back into. But remember this, God is always pouring out. As quick as I can let it go, he's refilling me. As much grace as I can give, he's filling me with grace. As much provision as I give out, God's filling me with provision. You're never going to run out as long as you are pouring out the things that God has placed in you and making room for God to pour more in you. Don't tell me what you want from God. That will be obvious by how much room you make for him. I just want God to do this. Do you? Because it looks like you're doing the same things you did in 2023 and 2025. So you want God to do a new thing in your old ways. You want God to do a new thing. It's like spending $3,000 on rims and putting them on a 1978 El Camino. Some of you are like, dang, Pastor, that was close. Spending more on what goes on it than what goes in it. There's a lot of us there saying, God, I want more in 2025. Do you, though? Because the ability to make room is up to you. It's not up to me. It's not up to your mama. It's not up to your brothers and sisters. It's not up to your accountability group. You and I have to look in the camera. We have to look in the mirror and say, God, I want more, but I am going to make sure that while you are getting ready to pour out, that I am emptying myself and getting ready and all of the things that you are wanting to do. God, I'm making room for you. That's why when this team starts singing Make Room, it's not just an incredible song, and it's not just because it has that driving beat when we get to the bridge and we talk about religion and tradition and tearing those things down. What we're literally singing is God, I'm tired of living my life the way that I'm living it, and I want you to do a new thing, and I want you to speak a new word, and I want to experience and feel you like I've never before. I'm talking to somebody in here that you are tired of church always being church, and you're tired of coming and singing a couple songs and hearing a good word and going home. I'm looking for those that are sitting here today and online today that are saying, God, I want more in 2025. I want to hear your voice in ways that I've never heard it before. I want to see your face in ways that I've never seen it before. That's why on Sundays and Wednesdays, you will see people come to an altar, but coming to an altar is not enough. You will see people hit their knees, but hitting their knees is not enough. You will see them lay out across this altar. What are they saying? God, I am pouring out. Because I believe that you're going to pour in. So why do we keep saying the wrong things but not making room for Jesus? How much you receive from God is determined by how much room you make for the Holy Spirit. If you're taking notes, write this down. You can't fill what is already full. You can't fill what is already full. That's why we encourage you to get filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and receive every gift that comes with that Holy Spirit. Why is that? Because you have just been cleansed of the old things. And now there's all this room for the Holy Spirit to take residence in. And when the Holy Spirit takes the place where racism used to be, and where sexual confusion used to be, and where addiction used to be, that's a good place to say amen. When the Holy Spirit takes that place in you, it starts doing things that you did not even know were possible. It starts having an effect on everyday life and how you think and how you speak and how you live, all because you said, God, I am making room for your Spirit, and I am emptying out everything that I have. You cannot fill what is already full. Talked about us being a Pentecostal church and Spirit-filled church, and that we are. But one thing that we always love to talk about in Joel chapter 2 is verse 28, because it talks about the God of restoration. I think about, or I quote this scripture in my prayer at least once a week, and I have for the last 15 or 20 years, because I want God to bring back what the enemy has stolen. I want everything that the canker worm and the locust and the palm, everything that the devil has stolen, I want it back. And I love to quote that along with Proverbs, where it says, if the thief be found out, or when he is found out, he has to give seven times. I love to read that in connection with Job's story at the end, where it said that he received double for his trouble, because I know that if God's plan is restoration, it's not just getting me back to where I was before I was attacked. It's getting me to the place that God has called me. Restoration isn't taking you backwards. Restoration is a promise to move you forward, to have all that God has called you to have and to do all that God has called you to do. So we love Joel chapter 2 verse 28. But honestly, there is no verse 28 through the end unless we go to the preceding verses. And here's what most preachers don't preach is Joel chapter 2 verses 1 through 17, because before you ever get to the restoration verse 28, we've got to talk about God's judgment and repentance. Nobody wants to talk about God's judgment. Nobody wants to talk about repentance. Repentance in most churches is a dirty word when it is a life-saving and transforming word. Repentance is not a bitter pill to be swallowed. Repentance is something that we not only should embrace, but it should be like a glass of sweet tea on a July 8th afternoon. It should fill up, it should be so good to our mouth and our life. And I've come to tell you, Living Way is going to be known as a house of repentance. It is going to be known as a place that preaches the truth, preaches the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. If you have problems, Living Way is your church. But just know that when you come in here with problems, those problems are not going to be able to stand in the presence of the Lord, because the God of the New Testament is still in this room, and our problems and our old way of life bows to him. Somebody say amen. Repentance, judgment. We'll get there in just a moment. Repentance always precedes restoration. Repentance always precedes restoration. There is no restoration until you have repented. And here's the thing, church, repentance is not a one-time moment at an altar 15 years ago. Repentance is an attitude of your heart. It is a posture of your life. And every day there should be moments of repentance. If you're not having repentative moments every day, you are not doing it right. And the devil has lulled you in a false sense of security and a false sleep because you think that you don't need it. Every day of my life, I still think something I shouldn't think. And sometimes I do something I shouldn't do. But every day before I go to sleep, and sometimes three or four times before I go to sleep, I have to just say, God, that was out of your character in me. Oh, that was Brandon's character, but Lord, your character now resides in me. And so, Lord, before I move to restoration, before I pray for your hand, God, I need your heart to work in my heart. And so, God, I repent. I'm not going to talk about you. I'll talk about me for the next 60 seconds. Let me just tell you how my day starts. My day starts with my alarm going off. The first alarm goes off at 5 a.m. How many of you have a first alarm? Just raise your hand. How many of you have a second alarm? Just raise your hand. I systematically make sure that my second alarm is the farthest it can be away from the snooze from the first alarm. Because see, if you do it at 5 a.m. and 5:10, your snooze goes off at 5:09, your next alarm goes off at 5:10. So you got to set that next alarm at like 5:13. Gives you 4 minutes of optimum wasting of time and sleep. But as I lay there in that dark room, I start talking to God. First thing I say is, God, thank you for another day. Then I start, and it's never the same, because we don't just say repetitive prayers, but it's along the same lines. God, thank you for another day. Lord, let everything I do today bring glory to your name. Let me be aware of opportunities. Let me be cognizant of what I can do, and Lord, bring people to. And all of this, it's just a 30 or 45 second prayer to start that day. And then pray, worship throughout the day, and pray at the stoplight and listen to this song and all of the things that happen during the day. But the last thing I do at night is, God, I pray that everything I did today was holy and acceptable before you. But Lord, if there was a moment in my life where I was less than, forgive me. If there's a moment where I fleshed out, forgive me. But I'm going to tell you what, spiritually mature people know when we flesh out. So if I flesh out at 2 p.m., I shouldn't wait till 12 a.m. I should, in that car, Lord, right now, I'm sorry. I should not have acted that way. That was the old Brandon, not the new creation you have created in me. Forgive me. Paul in the New Testament talked about crucifying his flesh daily. Remember, he had a thorn in his flesh. He said, I got to crucify, I got to bring, talking about fasting, I got to bring my body under subjection. So there's a lot of times when we're talking about the things of God and we're talking about God pouring out, there's some things that need to be repented of before God can restore in your life. So make sure that your prayers of repentance precede your prayers of restoration. God, I just want you to work in my son. No, God wants to work in you first. God, I just need you to work in my boss. No, God wants to work in you first. God, I want you to work in my pastor. He wants to work in you first. And there's so many prayers of restoration. God, give me, give me, give me, give me. And there should be a lot of prayers of repentance. God, get me, get me, get me. Get me before I go off the deep end. Get me before I ruin this marriage. Get me before I jack up my kids. Get me before I lose this job. Get me before I waste an opportunity to share your glory and share your story with someone. Lord, you don't have to just give me, but Lord, get me. Repentance is an amazing thing, church. These altars are always open, but you got to have an altar in your house. Most importantly, your heart needs to become an altar. The altar is a place of demonstration. It's a place of transformation. You don't need to wait till Sunday to do those things. But before we can say, God, pour out on me, we've got to get some things off of our chest, out of our lives, and say, God, I'm going to pour out first. I am making room. Stand on your feet. See, Tyler, I'm doing better. Even though I haven't stopped yet, I'm at least having them stand on their feet. Repentance. The older I get as a father, I love giving gifts. I love blessing my kids, blessing Mandy, my friends, Oscar. I'm a gift giver. I send gifts to Cruz and Josh Rudolph. Those guys don't buy me much, but I buy them a lot. No, I'm kidding. They've sent me some nice stuff. But the older I get as a father, I love to give gifts and I love to watch the reaction. Sometimes it's something they wanted, but sometimes it's I know them so well that I know they're going to like this. Tyler's got me two awesome presents this past Christmases. The first time last year, he got me like a bow staff with a big spearhead on the end of it. Like it's as redneck as you can get at our house, I promise you. And he wrapped it up like I knew exactly what it was. And Alyssa, who's just coming to our family a few years ago, she's like, I don't think your dad's going to lie. He's like, believe me. Man, I unwrapped that thing. That's all I talked about. Me and Tyler went out and did like drills in the front yard. This year he came in walking with us. I said, I know what that is. He's like, oh, you don't know. And he said, Alyssa, I think you're going to like this. I said, that's a machete and I love it. Sure enough, it's a machete. Take it out and work. But check this out. God knows what you want. But for those of us that are in deep relationship with God, he knows what we need. And in heaven today, he's nudging Michael and Gabriel saying, hey, I got this gift. And I can't wait for Living Way to open it. I can't wait for her to open it, for him to open it. It's going to change their family. It's going to change their mental state. It's going to change their eternity. And some of us never unwrap the gift. Or we unwrap it and we don't know what to do with it. My grandpa on my dad's side was the worst gift receiver ever. You would take him a Christmas gift. His birthday was on January 16th. You'd take him a birthday gift. January 16th, you'd hand it to him. You'd go back June 16th. It would still be wrapped sitting next to his chair. How disrespectful. That's my time, my money. How disrespectful for us to come to God's church, to breathe his air, to have the mobility of our limbs and think like we think and have the talent. He gives us his anointing. And he says, here's the gift of repentance. I don't like that one. I want restoration. You can't have that one before you open this one. So I'm opening the altar right now, church. I don't know where you're at in your walk with God. But I do know that after those things, he's going to pour out his spirit. But we can't get to the pouring out until we handle those things. And here's the great news, church. You and I cannot handle those things. Only God can. And that's why it says, give them to me. These four individuals, five now, six, seven, here they come. Come on, let's celebrate them as they come. These are walks of faith, walks of courage, walks of power. This is a redemption walk, a repentance walk. I believe there's another two or three dozen that are going to join, and we're going to stretch out from side to side. Ethan, so good to see you, my friend. Galen, God's doing some great things in your life. Dwight, I'm so proud of the men of this church that have dug in this past year. And I prophesy, I can't wait to share our theme on the 23rd for this year. It goes along with our 50th year celebration. But I've been just in my spirit, I've been feeling that 2024 and before was a year of preparation. That's the Moses generation. But I believe 2025 and beyond is our possessing season. Joshua was the possession generation. So I want to encourage those of you in this altar, God's been preparing you. Life has a way of preparing you. But God is getting ready in this moment of repentance, of this moment saying, God, I tried it my way and it didn't work. Or God, I'm struggling trying to do it my way. Jesus, I need you. That's what repentance sounds like. Jesus, I'm sorry, forgive me. That's what repentance sounds like. Jesus, I need your spirit. Jesus, let your word become alive so that I might obey it, God, and do and become what you've called me to be. That's what repentance sounds like. God, I'm sorry that I wasted a couple months in 2024. That's what repentance sounds like. God, I'm sorry that I didn't do my job in that relationship and it crumbled. Lord, fix me so that my next relationship is not a repeat or a rerun. That's what repentance sounds like.